Amen. All of our hope is found this morning in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that you're glad to be here and to worship together today. Let's stand together as we sing this powerful message this morning, giving thanks for all that the Lord has done. We will remember.
Faithful.
be seated.
All right, good morning. We are so glad you are here to worship with us. Kids, come on up while I do announcements, or while I welcome. I am glad you're here. If it is your first time visiting, we would love for you to fill out the yellow card in the pew in front of you and place it in the offering plate as it's passed, or you can take it down to the nursery, and we have a special gift for you down there. We would love to get to know you and plug you in here at the church. We are going to continue worship this morning with children's time. Hey, Paul. Can you scoot over and get my feet room? All right. How many of you have ever looked at a picture like this? Do you know what it is?
I've been there.
You've been there, have you? That's awesome, Millie. What is that a picture of? Chris, do you know? What is it? It is a carnival. This particular picture is actually like a seek and find. It's a special seek and find. A long time ago, this character was created, and this seek and find was very, very popular. His name is what? Waldo, that's right. Waldo is in there somewhere. Now, what's Waldo always had a stocking cap on his head and big black glasses, and you got to stare and stare and stare because there's so many people in there and so many little things, and not being able to find him, it's hard to find those hidden people like that, right? Now, it's actually quite serious when somebody's missing, right? Yeah, that is a serious thing, but Waldo is a fun game to play, right? When you're looking for Waldo. Well, I've got a Bible story this morning where they were looking for someone. They were looking and looking because Jesus, this is before he had died on the cross, but Jesus had done lots of miracles and there were lots of people looking for him because there were people that were sick and they couldn't find him anywhere. So Jesus was in the home of Simon Peter, and when he got there, Peter's mother-in-law lay sick in bed with a fever. So they told Jesus about her right away. Jesus took her by the hand, and he helped her up, and immediately she was well. Jesus performed a miracle. Well, at that time, then Jesus went out, and he had healed a lot of people. The next morning, Jesus woke up before anyone else, and he went outside to spend some time with God. Do y'all do that? Y'all, I hope you do. It's important that we do that. We take some time to go and talk to God. And that's exactly what Jesus had done. Well, there were more people looking for him because they had heard Jesus was in town, and there were other people that were sick that they wanted to heal. They wanted healed. And so in Mark chapter 1, verse 36 and 37, it says, Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." They were panicked because they couldn't find Jesus. And he said to them, "Let's go to the neighboring villages so that I may preach there too. This is why I have come." Jesus came so that everyone could know about him. And also, in the Great Commission in Matthew, when he tells us to go and tell others about him, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always." We don't have to search for Jesus, do we? He's with us always. There's little reminders of that throughout the building today. You might see, did you see one? You've seen one? They're all throughout the building. Now, it's just a little toy and it's a fun reminder, but we know that we don't have to go looking for Jesus, do we? He's with us. All we have to do is ask, and he is always with us, right? We have the Holy Spirit living within us when we become a believer. So let's pray and thank Jesus for being with us always. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you are always with us. Help us to remember that and to share that with others. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I know you love me. cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
Would you stand with us as we sing this, that we Christ goes before us this morning?
You go before me, you shield my way, your hand upholds me, I know you love me, at the cross I bow my knee.
There by faith I received my sight.
And now I am happy all the day. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I'm happy all the day because of what you've done for us. Thank you for rolling away that stone and rising again. Help us to use this money that we give back so that we can glorify the church. Help us to direct the leaders in this church to bless you, to lead our community towards you the best way you see fit. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Pray together. Lord Jesus, as we enter into this time of worship where we hear from your word, we ask that you would help us set aside distractions. Help us to focus truly on you today, what you have done for us. Your death and your resurrection has changed everything. And it gives us hope and peace. Today, we need hope. Our world needs hope. We do lift up the conditions in the Middle East, Lord, with what is going on there. We pray for your peace. Lord, for the believers there, we ask that you would remind them that their hope is found in you. And for us here, remind us of the same thing. We have hope, a living hope, because you are alive. Be glorified in all that goes on today. Be glorified in our lives each and every day. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray it. Amen. I want to begin this morning by thanking a few men who gave their Saturday yesterday for a project over at Koinonia Homes. I told someone earlier, I am a believer walking in hope because of the resurrection, but I'm standing upright today because of a leave. So, I'm not used to doing those kinds of things, but I'm very grateful for the men who gave their Saturday yesterday to be involved in that project and trying to keep Hammer Slammers going. If you haven't heard of that ministry, we are trying to keep that going. So if you have interest in doing things like construction-type projects, let me know. I would be happy to put you in charge. Honestly, I would just be happy to plug you in and get you involved in that way. And along the lines of men, there's something exciting happening. Many of you may know this. When I came, and I don't know how long it was going on before, but when I came 9 years ago, there was a men's prayer breakfast that happened every Tuesday morning over in the rec center. And with COVID, that obviously shut down, as did everything else, and it just hasn't come back. And so John Campione is interested in trying to restart some kind of men's Bible study, most likely at lunch during the week, and we could meet in the way-in or the rec center. If you have interest in that, see John, or there's going to be a table to sign up. Is that correct, John? A table to sign up for just interest, and once he knows what would work best for everyone, then they'll pick a day and get started. But I'm excited about that opportunity. I think that's something we have been missing. And so, men, if you're interested in that, please see John or sign up at the table. Last week, we continued on in this theme of Easter and resurrection and the importance of resurrection and the power that it has and the way that it has changed everything. I made a statement on Easter Sunday that nothing has changed human history to the level of the resurrection. In fact, my statement was there is no other event in history that redefines human existence as does the resurrection of Christ. It changes everything. But we sometimes take our eyes off of that, don't we? Just as I said last week, we had the excitement of Easter and we sang wonderful anthems and songs and we praised God and we were excited to celebrate an empty tomb. We had been walking that journey up to that point. Again, not passing by the cross too quickly and really struggling and wrestling with the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. But then on Easter Sunday morning, we celebrated, as we should. We celebrated an empty tomb because that empty tomb changes everything. Resurrection changes everything. But what happens is life begins to happen, and we take our eyes off of that, and that joy of the resurrection, that joy of knowing that Jesus is alive, gets pushed out of our focus. And that happens to all of us. And so my desire in this series is to really bring back to the forefront the power of the resurrection and the way that it changes your life, or it should. You may remember last week, and I want us to continue to remember this, that we were buried with Jesus so that we could be raised by Jesus in order to live for Jesus. And today I want us to look really at this idea of how we live. What is a quality of our life that should point people to Jesus? How would people know that Jesus is our Savior and Lord? Does our life reflect that? The text for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, and most theologians would say that the theme of 1 Peter is the way of life of the Christian. Our life has its source in God, and it is a journey walking with Him as we walk toward our inheritance. This theme throughout the book, this letter of 1 Peter, is this idea of how should we be doing this? How should we be walking with Him? And so our text for this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be, your text may say blessed. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Living hope. He has, by His mercy, given us a new birth, a new creation. We talked about this idea last week of being raised with Him, being a new person, a new creation. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Now, I think that is so significant, and I don't want us to pass it by too quickly. Our hope is a living hope. And the difference is the hope prior to Jesus was in a set of rules and making sure that we followed those as closely as we could. One of the commentaries I looked at in preparation said because of their failure, talking about the Israelites, because of their failure to fulfill the terms of the covenant, their hope was dead. But then he says this, our confidence rests not on any ability of our own to carry out certain promises, but is according to the abundant mercy which God has bestowed upon us and which is assured to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, that's the living hope. It doesn't depend on us. Now, I'm looking around the room, and some of you are very dependable. But it doesn't depend on you. The hope that we have isn't dependent on our mentality, our ability. Our hope is dependent on the only one who is faithful. That makes it a living hope. Why? Because Jesus is alive. If Jesus had not come out of that tomb, quite honestly, we would not be here. But there would not be much hope. Not a living hope. Living hope is offered as opposed to dead hope. And you've heard me talk about hope before, but the Reformation Bible translates this verse and talks about hope as not uncertainty or wishful thinking. You've heard me say this before. Hope, biblical hope, is not wishful thinking. It's not hoping that it will rain tomorrow because we need the rain. It is knowing that God is who He says He is. It's a confident conviction, not wishful thinking. Hope, according to the Bible, is a confident conviction and a plausible possible future. It's conviction, knowing that God fulfills His promises. Knowing, convicted, that God is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do. A conviction to know that He is faithful. How many of us have experienced His faithfulness? If you have not experienced His faithfulness, I'm not judging at all. But if you're sitting there right now thinking, well, I don't know, I believe what you're saying, but I don't know that I can put a finger on a time when I know God was faithful. If you can't, then there is a good possibility that you have never entrusted your life to Him fully. Because Scripture tells us that when we give ourselves to Him, He is faithful. And we don't have to fear anymore. Why? Because we know it doesn't depend on us. It depends on Him. And He's big enough to handle anything that we face. Ours is a living hope. It's not fanciful wish. It's not daydreaming that my life will somehow become perfect with no struggles or stress. That doesn't happen. Anybody in here not ever had a struggle? Anybody not going through one right now? I mean, that might be. We have struggles. So hope is not somehow hoping or wishing in some childish belief that all of a sudden my problems are going to be magically taken away. If you have sat under preaching or teaching that says that if you give your life to Jesus, all your problems will be solved, I don't want to burst your bubble, but let me just do that. That's not going to happen. In fact, quite opposite. Jesus says, if you follow me, you're going to have trouble. But I'll be with you. And that's where our hope comes from. Hope is this confident conviction, not a half-hearted belief that God might be who He says He is, and so I'll put a little trust in Him and kind of hedge my bets that you know, this might work out, and if it doesn't, what have I lost? That's not hope. Hope is knowing that God is in control, that God has a plan, and not just any kind of plan, but a plan that includes a meaningful life for you. Not only life in the future, but life here and now. That's the hope that comes from Him. Jesus didn't promise a life without problems, but He did promise His presence. He said, and Ginger's already quoted it in the Great Commission, I will be with you even until the end of the age. He promised us a life of meaning when we surrender to Him. So our hope is a living hope because Jesus is alive. The resurrection gives us hope. We talked about this last week. His resurrection defeated death. His death on that cross defeated sin. He paid the price for your sin and my sin. And just to make sure we're all on the same playing field, each one of us sins. There's only been one person to walk this earth and do so perfectly, and that is Jesus. So we all sin. Romans tells us that all of us sin. And it also says the wages of that sin is what? Death. But praise be to God, in His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope. That's what we celebrate. Living hope begins when we experience that new birth. This idea is similar to what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Verse 3, He tells him, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus struggles with that, right? But that's the same thing we see here, same idea that we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This new birth. He gives us a new birth. The hope that Jesus offers, this living hope, brings us life. Not only life in the future, but life now. This hope transforms. As believers, we have hope. A living hope. Because Jesus is alive. This hope is something that should set us apart. Now, I'm not saying we should always be bubbly and happy. I will tell you, it's more pleasant to be around people that the glass is half full than it is to be around people that the glass is half empty with a hole in the bottom of it. But this hope is what keeps us going in the face of struggles, because we know Jesus has what? Already overcome. Jesus is won. And so we have hope. Some of you know this, some of you may not about me, but my undergraduate degree is a double major, Bible and English. I felt like I needed to learn how to speak the language. Still learning. But I have a fond place in my heart for poetry. And Emily Dickinson is an American poet from the 19th century. And she said this about hope. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. That's hope. That's the hope that we have in Jesus. It's there. We may not can define it, but it's there. Because we know that Jesus is alive and He has overcome, and there is nothing that we need to worry about. Living hope, not a dead hope. A hope that is made real by the resurrection. Living hope is not wishful thinking, but confident conviction. Conviction that God is who He says He is. The source of that hope is Jesus. The source of that hope comes from outside of us. We don't hope in ourselves. We don't have to. The source is Jesus. If you look back at verse 3, He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's He giving credit for? Or to? God. The source of our hope is God through the resurrection. The Sermon on the Mount uses a different word that's translated blessed. As I said earlier, as I read this passage, my text says praise be to God. Some of yours may say blessed be God. But the point is that this new life, this living hope, is attributed to God. It comes from Him. And so the source of our hope is God. The source of our hope is Jesus and His resurrection. When Jesus walked out of the tomb, He proved He could handle anything that we would ever face. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, don't you think, I said this last week, but don't you think He can give you life. God is bigger. A.T. Robertson says, hope rose up with Christ from the dead. I think that's true. Our source for hope is not in ourselves, it's in Him and what He has done for us. Going to that cross for us, dying for us, and rising again, showing us that He is stronger than sin and stronger than death. Those are the only two things we really need to worry about. And He's taking care of both. That's where our hope lies. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. We sang about this living hope. We sang about His faithfulness this morning. I pray that those were not empty words for you as you sang those words. We are to hold to this hope unswervingly, He says, unbending, without distraction, hold to this hope. This hope that we say we have, the writer of Hebrews says. We profess to have this hope. We need to hold to this hope because He's faithful. He is faithful. We hope because we know that He is in control, faithful to provide, faithful to care, faithful to love us, faithful for our salvation, faithful for our strength. Some mornings we get up. Today may have been one of those for you, and you just need strength to get through the day. He's faithful. He's faithful. I read in a journal several years ago, the Journal of Spiritual Life. It actually doesn't even exist anymore other than online. But it said this about hope. As believers, we have the certainty of faith that Jesus lives. In the glory of the Father and in our daily lives, transforming us and making us truly resurrection people. Think about that for a minute. God is transforming us to be resurrection people. He has promised to be with us all days, even to the end of the world, assuring us of His living presence in our lives. He is with us. Faith in Jesus brings a vibrant and living hope. Faith in Jesus brings a vibrant and living hope. Do we believe? Do we have that faith? We need to be living this hope every single day. People need to be able to see the difference in us every day. What is it that we have that someone outside of faith would look at and say, I need that? Hope is one of those keys. Hope is one of those characteristics that we need to exhibit. Next week we'll talk about resurrection peace. We need peace also, don't we? Anybody? But I would suggest to you that it's really difficult to have peace if we have no hope. But when we hope in Him, we know that He is bigger. I'd written this down years ago, and I pulled it back out. Hope looks struggle in the eye, and with full conviction says, God is bigger, and He will get me through even this. That's hope. That's confident conviction, looking struggle, looking difficulty in the eye, and with conviction saying, God is bigger than this, and He can get me through even this. Some of you are going through some difficulties right now. Some of you have told me about those things. We are not immune to that. I alluded last week to difficulties in my own family with my parents and my in-laws. In fact, I put Christy on a plane this morning at 7 to go up to see her folks. Her mother's having surgery tomorrow. We have difficulties. But the hope that we have in Him is we can look those difficulties in the eye and know that God is bigger. And He can get us through even this. We sometimes struggle to sell somebody, to put a definition on our hope, but we can certainly show them what it looks like. They should be able to see in us the fact that we have hope, even when it doesn't make sense that we would have hope, that we have hope. Because he has already overcome. I can face tomorrow because he lives. The old Gaither hymn, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living because he lives. Because he lives. That's hope. That's the living hope that we have in him. We look beyond the here and now and know that God is in control. In fact, a passage I use often at memorial services, 2 Corinthians 4. And verses 16 and 18 talk about the fact that we fix our eyes not on what is seen, because what is seen is what? Temporary. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, because what is unseen is eternal. That's the key. Understanding that there is hope because he has already overcome. We are alive in Christ, and we live with a living, active hope. So we fix our eyes not on what we can see, but what we can't see, on him. And live out that hope every single day. We can't do this on our own. That's why the living hope is not dependent on us, it's dependent on him. And so the best thing we can do is each and every morning start the day with an honest, humble prayer for God to give us the hope that we need to get through the day. To give us everything that we need to get through the day. It doesn't depend on us, it depends on him. And let me just tell you, he's faithful. We are to live resurrected lives with a living hope. My challenge for us as we move from today and not only this next week, but really for the rest of our lives, live a resurrected life by being an example of living hope every day. Our world needs to see that. Our world needs to see that there's a reason to have hope. If you watch the news, there's not much reason. But praise be to God, our hope is not on this world. Our hope is not on the leaders of this world. Our hope is not on our own abilities. Our hope is in Jesus, who has already conquered both sin and death. And he offers us a new birth into a living hope through that resurrection. May we live into that each and every day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you have done for us. This living hope that you give us through your resurrection. We would not have a reason to have hope were it not for what you have done for us. And so I thank you for your death and your resurrection, the life that brings, the hope it offers. Thank you that you have offered that new life to us through your great mercy. You have given us a new birth into a living hope, and we thank you for that. We know that comes from you. May we never take it for granted, but rather live each and every day with that hope, pointing others to you. Be glorified in us. Be glorified through us. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen. Just a moment, I'll have you stand for a time of response. God is at work. God is at work. And I made a statement early on in the sermon today that if you have not experienced his faithfulness, there's a good chance you've never trusted him fully. And if that's you, I would love to talk to you about that. You don't have to come down. This will be a time in the service you can do that, but if you want to catch me afterwards, that would be fine. I just want to talk to you about that and what it means to trust him with all that you have. If you'd like prayer, I'll be here, Micah will be here, Ginger will be here. If there's a decision you'd like to make, we'll be here. But spend this time truly reflecting on the fact that we have a living hope. because of what he has done for us. Stand, sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Y'all may be seated.
All right, we have some exciting things coming up, and we would love for you to join us. Our Ladies Spring Tea is going to be April 27th. Today is the last day for registration. You can do that online, or you can go out to the table and sign up and pay. It's $20 a person. It's going to be in Elmore Hall, April 27th from 10:30 to 12:30. It's going to be a great time together. The next thing, just so y'all know and be prepared, April 28th, the next day, is the youth fundraiser. So the youth will be leading in both services, and it'll be a there'll be a time. Aren't we doing food? Okay, that's nowhere on there. I thought we were doing food. We're doing food. We're going to have food plates, and it'll be donations. So looking forward to that as well. May the 5th is the senior adult luncheon, and that'll be in Elmore Hall after Bible study. Tickets are starting to be sold today. They're $10 a piece out in the hallway. And then also, starting today, we are selling tickets that evening, May the 5th. We're doing a family movie night, and that we're going to be going to Cinemark, and we're going to go to Unsung Hero. The church is offsetting the tickets. The tickets are only $5 a piece, but we only have one theater with 100 seats. So first come, first serve. Don't knock me over on the way to come get the tickets. So anyway, we would love to have you join us. It's a great movie. I actually got to see that at a preview at a children's pastor's conference I went to, and it is an amazing, amazing message about Rebecca St. James and that family. So anyway, hope you can join us. Pastor B.
I do encourage you to make plans to be there for just a family event, if nothing else. But it is going to be a great movie, a great evening. Lots of things coming up. Lots of ways to be involved. Let me just give you a little update. Last week, of course, as you well know, we changed schedules and went back to two services, and there was a lot of excitement and energy in our modern service. The chapel was just about full, and so it was a lot of excitement. And so I ask that you continue to pray that we truly reach people that we're not reaching now through that service and what God does there. And you make a bit, you play a big part in that, so thank you. As we are dismissed today, know that you are loved. Know that you are loved. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for you so that you would not perish, but instead have everlasting life. Because of his great mercy, his great love, he offers you a new birth into a living hope. May the God who gives us new birth into a living hope find us faithful this week in living with that hope so that others may see. Amen. We're dismissed.